And at this point in time, osimertinib had been approved for second-line patients who were T790M positive, which is, I guess, the current approval still. But
I was going to say, you remember those days?
Probably is going to be broadening soon, but in any case.
I mean, we spent 2 years trying to teach everybody about T790. All of a sudden, it's like blown up.
Well, she didn't have, we actually did send a plasma test on her to see if there was any way that T790 would come up. There was nothing detected. There was no detectable ctDNA. So we actually had quite an argument with her insurance company about whether osimertinib would be appropriate. We showed them the Bloom study, which was a trial specifically in brain mets and leptomeningeal disease in EGFR patients, where osimertinib, in that trial, it was given at 160 milligrams, twice the approved dose, where osimertinib had a nice response, even in a couple patients with leptomeningeal disease, which you almost never see. So we convinced her insurance company that because of her brain progression on afatinib, OC would be a good next step. And they actually approved the 160 milligram. So,
wow.
So she took that, and the growing spots responded.
Wow. What a story. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
Well, she's still on it.
Wow. She's still on osimertinib.
She is. She
How
did
long
have,
has she been on?
She did have one new spot grow while on this regimen, which we zapped. And everything else has, knock on wood, stayed quiet. She's tolerating it better than she tolerated the afatinib. And she's just going on with her daily life right now.
How long has it been?
It has been about a year.
Wow, what a story. But you know, I was thinking back to the Bloom study, and I don't remember, did those patients have, any of them have prior TKIs? And this patient progressed on afatinib.
Yeah, I think most of the patients in the Bloom study had had prior TKI.
Really?
They were like end-stage, heavily pretreated patients.
Huh. Wow, that's interesting. So there's, at least in terms of CNS mets, a reason to think that there's not like this cross-resistance. And of course, in a way, if you can think about it, this case, and I mean, it's certainly an unusual case, but how often do you see, it kind of reminds me, in HER2-positive disease, you have cases like that. Do you see this much with non-small cell?
Where they have brain-only disease?
Yeah.
We do see it. I would say we see it more in the patients that have driver mutations than your wild-type patient. And it's probably more of an issue of drug delivery. You know, it's like a sanctuary site. Even if you get some penetration of the drug in there, which clearly she was because she responded to the afatinib initially, but it's not at high enough concentration.
So in a way, she's a little bit like living proof of why the FLAURA study presented in ESMO showed a superiority of osimertinib compared to other TKIs. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. But just to stay with the brain met thing, so to speak. So her case really introduces the whole concept of targeted therapy and radiation therapy in brain mets.
Yeah.
Now, in her situation, it's a little bit different because she didn't really have systemic disease. But first of all, in general, and I'm going to ask you this, not just for EGFR, but for ALK and the other targetable mutations, because I know there may not all be the same in terms of how you approach this. So in general, if you have a patient like this, multiple bilateral brain mets, asymptomatic, they're small, maybe would require whole brain radiation. So for all these targetable mutations, are you generally using targeted therapy in those people?
I think the decision about whether to use radiation or targeted therapy depends a lot on what drugs are available. The targeted therapies, some of them are excellent at getting into the brain. I would say osimertinib is an example. Alectinib for ALK is an example of a really excellent brain penetration. Some of them are more mediocre, and some of them don't have great brain penetration. And so I think you really have to make that decision based on the drug that's available and the burden of disease for the patient and the symptoms.
The other thing I was going to ask you about is the patient, and of course, again, it gets complicated when you talk about systemic disease, but the patient who has, you know, I don't know, two or three small, easily stereotactic targets, do you just send them the stereotactic? Then you give them a sort of adjuvant TKI? Do you shrink it down first, then they go to stereotactic? Do you shrink it down and observe them?
Yeah, I don't think there's consensus on that. I can tell you there was IASLC meeting in Chicago this fall, and radiation oncologist from Colorado, Lori Gaspar, and I had to debate this exact question, and it was it was a really vigorous debate, and at the end of the debate, the audience was tied. And I think we don't have great data to guide us. I think the best, or at least the largest data we have, is Magnussen et al. Had a paper in JCO trying to look at the question of radiation first or drug first in EGFR patients. It was retrospective, though, so it was pooling case series at six different hospitals. Their results suggested that starting with whole brain radiation or SRS was better than starting with drug, but there's a lot of caveats with that study. And we don't have prospective data. And of course, that study didn't include osimertinib, which I think is a much more brain-penetrant drug than the older EGFR drugs.